Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have been thinking together or in a series of messages, in fact a rather long series of messages, we've been thinking together of the subject of what is a spiritual, God-pleasing, God-honoring home. How can we as parents, how can we as families have homes which God really would approve of, which God would honor, God would bless, God would give favor to? And we haven't been able to consider all of the aspects of this, but have especially been dwelling on several important aspects of having a God-honoring, God-pleasing home. First of all, we talked about the whole idea of what do husbands and wives have a right to expect of each other? What kind of qualities should be present in our lives, spiritual qualities in our lives that the other one would see and would respect and would be influenced by? I pointed out that these qualities, and there was a long list of them we considered, that these qualities are qualities which are to be mutual in nature. In other words, both the husband and the wife are to expect this, first of all, of themselves, and then of the spouse. And then we passed from there into the present subject. And this subject has to do with what are some of the spiritual qualities that children need to see in their parents? We parents perhaps do not like the attention of our children to be directed so directly toward us. And yet this is God's expectation for us, that we ourselves should be very transparent and that we ourselves should live blameless lives before our children. We're never going to live perfect lives, but we can live lives they will respect, lives they would want to follow, lives they will listen to, because they see in us the kind of qualities that a true Christian parent should have and will have if they are going to be spiritual. And so we've been considering a number of different qualities in our lives which children look for and have a right to expect. I want to emphasize again, these qualities are spiritual qualities. And these qualities can only be present in the lives of parents who themselves are spiritual before God. In other words, if you in your heart do not have a sincere desire to be a spiritual person, you're not going to be a spiritual parent either. You begin with your own personal walk with the Lord. You begin with your own spiritual passion, your own spiritual desire, and you'd really desire to be a spiritual man or woman. I remember when I was in college, I met a man named Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was written about in many, many books by his wife, Elizabeth Elliot. But Jim Elliot was a very dear friend of mine when I was in college. He was one of five men who died on a beach there in Central America in 1956 at the hands of the Alka Indians. One of the things which impressed me about his life was the fact that he had a passion for the Lord. In other words, he desired to be a man of God. It wasn't something he simply showed off to other people or boasted about, but I can remember his passion to be a man of God. And as you read the books of Elizabeth Elliot concerning his life, Through Gates of Splendor, Shadow of the Almighty, and some of these books where she mentions her husband, Jim Elliot, she refers to this passion that he had to be a man of God. So I want to emphasize, and I've been taking a lot of time with this, but I want to emphasize that these are spiritual things we lay before our children. And it's a spiritual example we set before them. And spiritual examples come from spiritual people. And so it would be my prayer for my life and for your life that as long as we live on this earth, we would earnestly desire to be spiritual, God-pleasing people in our personal walk with the Lord. Now today, I want to come back to a subject that I talked about when I talked about husband-wife relationships. And now I want to apply this to the parent-child relationship. And this has to do with spiritual honesty. Spiritual honesty. The fact that we are honest with our children in every possible way. I want to go back again to the passage that we read when we discussed husband-wife relationships, taken from Genesis chapter 27, beginning with verse 18. And he came unto his father, and he said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art you, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto him, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether or not thou art my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and he said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And then verse 24, And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. Now here was a man named Jacob. This was the son of Isaac, the son of Rebekah. But first of all, this son was lying to his father. This is what we have just read. Where did he get the idea of telling lies? He got it from his own mother. What a shame that Rebekah had turned into this kind of a woman. In the very beginning, Rebekah was a very righteous type of person. She was a virtuous woman when she was brought from Haran in the far north down into Canaan to be the wife of Isaac. Apparently, in the first few years, they had a very spiritual relationship. She was a spiritual woman, he was a spiritual man. But later in life, when they had two sons, and these sons were grown, the father and mother began to depart from spiritual patterns. We mentioned before that the father favored the son Esau, the mother favored the son Jacob. Now the mother was not satisfied for God to work out his purposes in the life of the child. Many times we as parents become impatient when God does not always work as quickly as we want him to work. We feel somehow that we've got to help God make his decisions, as we've got to stand in the place of God. And this is not our position in life. We wait on God, and this is taught many times in the scriptures. Wait patiently for me, God says. And so this is taught we're to wait on God for him to work. And so Rebekah could have waited for God to bring Jacob to the place where he could give Jacob his blessing and his favor. But she wasn't content. And so she began to lie to Isaac, and she began to teach Jacob how to lie. What a shame, again, that he had to learn the deception and the lying which characterized his life in later years. He had to learn this from his own mother. A child has a right to expect that a parent will always be honest. They would never be dishonest. They would never tell a lie. They would never deceive the child in any possible way. They would never pretend about anything. I think, first of all, a parent has to be honest about their own character and their own lives. I want to very quickly go through this with you. First of all, we don't deceive the child about the nature of our own lives. When a parent fails, I believe it's honoring to God. The parent will simply confess it to the child. When a parent has unfairly or unjustly treated a child, a parent would humble himself and go back, confess it to the child, ask the child's forgiveness. And also, that the parent would be living exactly as he teaches the child. In other words, the child needs to know that the parent's life is so transparent that they can see whether that parent is spiritual or not. And what they see is really a spiritual father, a spiritual mother, one who is honoring God, who is walking close with the Lord Jesus. So the first area of possible deception is the area of pretending to be someone we really are not. Pretending to be someone, but in reality, we're not that kind of a person. This is called in the scriptures a hypocrite. The Pharisees were called hypocrites by the Lord Jesus. And many times a parent can be a complete hypocrite, demanding one thing of the child and yet not being that thing in his own life, demanding one kind of practice in the child and yet not following that practice strictly in his own life. So what we're asking of the child, what we're expecting of the child, in abundance we're expecting of ourselves. In other words, we're expecting that in every way we will be what we're asking the child to be. So this is where honesty begins. It begins with who and what we are and what we're claiming to be before the child. What we expect the child to be, we are ourselves. And then spiritual honesty also extends to the way we talk and act before the child. In other words, we would never lie to the child about anything. Not just our personal lives, I've discussed that already, but about anything in life itself. When we are lacking in finances, for instance, we're very honest with the child about our financial needs. Why can't we give the child the same allowance that other children receive? We're very honest with the child. We're very careful that it's not simply through selfishness we don't give the child what he needs. But we're very honest with the child. We simply do not have the money. When a parent is talking about his time, the time he doesn't have to always spend with a child, when he's talking about a game or something that a child is going to be involved in, a child will play in, the parent is honest with the child why he cannot attend that game, why he cannot be at that child's activity. It's not simply, in other words, the parent is lazy or the parent has no interest, but in his own heart, he is absolutely honest with the child. So there are many, many areas of life where the parent has to be honest with the child. And first of all, in his own personal life, and then in every dealing of his life with the child, the parent is absolutely honest. The third way that we're honest with the child, and that is that we're honest with the child about the future of the child, what the Lord wants that child to do. Many times a parent will give advice to a child which is based upon the parent's own selfish feelings. In other words, a child feels he is called to the mission field. The parent will put up various excuses why this child could not go to the mission field, or the child feels called to the ministry, some special service for God, perhaps to use as a youth worker or some other thing. The child will put up various reasons why the child should not be doing this. In other words, it is a selfishness that is being promoted here, because the parent himself is selfish. The parent is selfish in that he doesn't want the child to go away from home, perhaps, this daughter, this son. He's a little bit afraid what will happen to the child if the child leaves the shores of America. No, I've learned as a parent, we can absolutely trust God with our children. We never lie to them about our motives, in other words, about the reasons we give for this thing or that thing about the future of the child. Or a child may want to go to a certain Christian school which has a good reputation, which is a very spiritual school. I know in America, I've been connected with a couple of schools, Bob Jones University, Northland Baptist Bible College. A couple of these schools are splendid spiritual schools. But many Christian parents would not want their children to go to such a school. The school is too far from home. The school perhaps doesn't have the highest academic rating the parent may desire. Or it may not be the recognized school that the parent desires. And in pride, a parent may lie to his children. I want to close with this, but I simply want to indicate, in every area of life, whether it's our personal lives or whatever it might be, we do not lie to our children. They have the right to expect absolutely that we would be honest with them, absolute honesty, in other words. They have a right to expect this from the parent. And it's my prayer that in your relationship with your own children, they may know they have a parent who absolutely has integrity. In other words, his parent would never under any circumstances lie to the child. And they can trust the parent in everything he says, in everything he claims to be. And I pray that you will be this kind of a parent.